All right, let's talk about aliens.
Live. So welcome back to the High Kind. I am Huntley. I'm with my usuals.
Usual.
Andy and David. Yeah.
Hello.
Usuals. I'm the usual. I like that.
Is that our group name now?
It's weird.
The usuals. The usuals. I just felt like I've used host and co-host too many times, and I don't like it.
Fair.
I don't know. I'm fine with it. I'm a big co-host.
You're fine with it? Fine. Yeah. Fine. I'll use co-host. So what have you two been up to since we last sat with each other and not social distanced?
Working and antiquing today.
That was fun.
I like old stuff. So, yeah. Didn't buy anything, though. Didn't find any good ones. I was looking for like a fountain pen. Like an old fountain pen for writing.
Why?
I don't know.
You wanted to write with an old fountain pen?
I have a thing about fountain pens. I don't know. Like a nice pen, I can't. I don't like stealing in general, but if someone gives me a nice pen to borrow, there's a good chance that it's probably going to come up missing.
Come on, missing.
Yeah. I usually will replace it, just not with one that's not quite as good. You know. But yeah. No, I didn't find anything, sadly.
No, you didn't find anything?
No. I was hoping for like a possessed pen or something, you know? As like the soul of a writer.
Possessed pen?
You know?
The soul of a writer that's just like, let it be at least a good writer and not one of these broke schmucks that, you know, never gets anything published.
It'd be like L. Ron Hubbard or something. No, I was just kidding. No, he got a lot published.
Oh, no.
He's one
of
the most published authors in history.
Yeah, well, he got published, and that kind of helped kick off. He was in pulp magazines, and that kind of kicked off his career as, you know, gave him some, like, clout to promote Scientology.
But you know what? If there was a possessed of a failed writer, that's probably their legacy. Like, they couldn't make their mark in the world except for this shitty little pen that just kind of, like, writes really
and their souls
poetry every now and then.
But see, you can help him. You can help him move on by like writing a good novel. Then, with his help, and then there you go.
Well,
anyways,
what the hell is that?
Now for aliens in the news.
Apparently, we have breaking news from about the aliens.
Yeah.
So. We have an interesting topic, but I just wanted to kind of go over a couple of things that have come out the last couple of days. From Fox News about a day ago, fighter pilot says UFO he chased in 2004 committed an act of war. A former U.S. Navy pilot spoke this month about what he says was an encounter with a Tic Tac, a shaped UFO, and he believes that flying object committed an act of war.
Old Tic Tac.
Retired commander... Tic-tacs. Yeah. Commander David Freyer recalled the strange encounter off San Diego 16 years ago in a September 8th podcast with MIT researcher Lex Fridman. Freyer says he was dispatched to investigate a radar anomalies and later described what he saw as nothing like he's ever seen. A tic-tac-shaped object turned around on a dime and made itself invisible to radar. He was followed by other pilots who managed to catch it on video. Clips were leaked in 2017 by a U.S. UFO research group founded by punk singer Tom DeLonge of Blink-182 and formally declassified in 2020 by the Pentagon, according to Station.
I don't trust them, but yeah.
The Pentagon?
Both. Yeah. John Podesta is part of DeLonge's group. And
I gotcha.
Yeah, no, I'm not down with that. Nope.
Not down with that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, you know, I'm not going to go into all that on this channel. Not going to derail that. Not going to derail it.
That would take us down a dark rabbit hole, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
But in other news, Japanese military announces it will track UFOs now. The move comes days after Japan and the United States spoke about an unidentified aerial phenomenon. So now Japan is joining our military in tracking UFOs and publicly talking about them, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Think we're gonna get like a united space force, like a UN space force.
everybody hopes that like we're going to be like Star Trek and unify together, but instead, no,
it's going to be Starship Troopers, man. It's going to be a full blown.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Is it's not going to be. Yeah, I wasn't going to say that. Like, it's not going to be like the Federation. It's going to be like Starship Troopers, and it's going to be dark.
Yeah.
Would you like
not the movie? I'm talking novel dark.
Would you like to know more, guys? That's the whole thing. That even the movie. Like, if you just stop and look at the society they're living in, you're like, they're fascists. What the fuck's going on?
Yeah.
Authoritarian
fascism.
Got it.
It's a little bit terrifying. So on the Japanese thing, like, I feel like they would be poised to actually find something, because they've already got a satellite in space that takes pictures of the Earth every 30 seconds or something, and then it like uploads to a website for everyone to see. So they've already got that infrastructure in place. Maybe they can like tune them to look for UFOs.
Now that would be interesting. And of course, you both saw that the potential of life on Venus yesterday, right?
Yep.
I didn't.
Wasn't able to read into it because it's behind a paywall, but I did see the headline.
Yeah, it basically small quantities of phosphine gas was found on Venus's atmosphere, and they believe that could be a sign for biological life on the often overlooked planet. The findings need to be concerned with additional measurements, the researchers and experts said, and that's from the Washington, Wall Street Journal, actually.
Interesting.
So they think it's like extremophiles or something?
Didn't say. Just the gas was kind of like a indicator of there potentially being life there.
Interesting.
Remember, there's been like speculation about potential life on Venus for a long time.
Yeah. But there's been speculation, but this has been like the first thing that we could go like, oh, this might be, you know.
Yeah, might actually be legit.
Like, have some evidence.
Yeah.
To throw it into like a wacky direction real quick.
Of course,
there's these channelings called the Law of One, and if I remember correctly, the entity said that he used to be Venusian like millions of years ago or billions or something. I don't remember, but at some point it was inhabitable. So according to a really interesting channeling called Law of One, so there you go. Venusians. And I think Corey Good believes, because the guy went by the name Ray or Ra, pronounced Ray. And Corey Good, you know who Corey Good is, right? And the whole UFO community. He's the blue chickens, the blue avians, excuse me, alien guy. So yeah, he promoted that whole thing and was really big into like the secret space program and all of that. So, but anyways, he claimed that Ray was was one of the blue avians from his theories. He like hijacked the whole Law of One teachings and stuff like that, and like inserted them into the UFO community. Just little tidbits for you. Yeah.
Well, while we're talking, strange, let's segue into the topic tonight. So, have either of you heard of a place called Stardust Ranch in Arizona in the Rainbow Valley?
No.
Well, all right. Well, I'm going a little bit that you've told me about it.
Yeah, and that was just like when I before, just like tip of the iceberg. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you the story. So, basically, this picked up in 2017. That's when the first headline I saw on it was in 2017, a ranch in the small town of Rainbow Valley, which is a rural area of a town called Buckeye. And Buckeye is like a suburb of Phoenix. But there was a real estate listing for $5 million before being removed in 2018. And it was originally, before 2017, it was originally priced at $1 million. So the property value to skyrocketed, so to speak. But The house is 5 bedrooms, has a guest house, a pool, several barns, and an electric fence for keeping in cattle. Now, it was listed at $5 million, but I checked Zillow, and the current property value is listed altogether $500K.
Hmm.
And that's including house and land. And most homes around the area of that same like property and housing go for $300K to $400K in the nearest town of Buckeye. And Rainbow Valley is not Buckeye. It's the rural area of Buckeye. And it only has 34 people per square mile. And the area can be usually seen with just like cattle, horses, and goats just wandering around. So it's pretty rural. Mm-hmm. So that's why this is unique, is because why would something be listed that high, especially in a little area like that? Well, that's because its owners, John and Joyce Edmonds, say a lot happens on their little plot of heaven, so to speak. So, I'm going to give you a little background on John Edmonds. John Edmonds is a former musician and a concert promoter from Chicago during the 90s. He and his wife moved to the small little area sometime in the 90s. I don't have a specific date. And he claims when they purchased the property that the previous owner's furniture and stuff was still in the swimming pool. So not only was their stuff still there.
Wait, what?
But it was in the swimming pool. Like all their furniture was thrown into the swimming pool.
Okay.
Was the swimming pool filled up, I'm assuming?
Yes. From what I'm assuming, yeah. Yes. Yeah. So somebody ruined a bunch of furniture. And this is what gets a little stranger, is that John Edmonds claims that the former owners disappeared.
Hmm. Is that actually true?
That they...
Do you know?
It's getting murky. It gets okay. A little murky.
All right.
But he claims the former tenants disappeared. So I did a little more digging and I couldn't find anything. So I checked news sources because, you know, they're better equipped at this stuff than me. But USA Today said that the property records that they were able to obtain were unclear about how much Edmonds paid for the ranch and who sold it. Now, I was able to find this little bit of information. The last time the house was sold was in 1996 for $200K.
Okay.
But we don't know who bought it for $200K. The property records weren't clear enough.
Hmm. So the mystery owner, previous owner, basically, is the...
That was a mystery.
That was the furniture in the pool, right?
Yes.
So I'm understanding. Yes. Okay.
So I'm guessing if we go by what John Edmonds says, that the tenants that stuff was in the pool were the people that bought in 1996 for cool. $200K.
Okay.
If it wasn't Edmonds himself, but we don't know.
All right. That's very weird, but all right.
Yes. But what makes this property special, in at least what John Edmonds says, is he claims it's a hotbed for alien activity. He believes the grays come from two portals located in his ranch. Now, this is Arizona. We covered Arizona a couple of weeks ago with the portal outside of Sedona. And then, of course, there's the Phoenix Lights. So there's a lot of activity going on in the Arizona area.
Yeah, for sure.
And Phoenix is only 90 minutes away, while Sedona is only 2 hours away. So it wouldn't be far-fetched for activity going on, mm-hmm. as we talked about with the portal in Arizona.
Yeah, that's not too far.
Now, in addition to being living on this ranch, the Edmonds decided to operate a horse rescue that they call Hopeful Hooves for abandoned horses. But sometime during all this, they started experiencing what Edmonds refers to as the grays. We've talked about the grays before on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
bastards.
Yeah. He appeared on a TV show in 2014 on the Travel Channel. But here's a little excerpt that I read. In the TV show, he talks about how they tried to abduct his wife from their driveway. He describes the event as there was a cone of light. It came down. She started to rise into that cone of light. I grabbed an AK-47 with a double banana clip in it, and I went outside and I opened up.
Okay, is that legal in Arizona? I mean, Texas, maybe. Arizona, though?
The only state I know that an AK-47 is illegal in, if it's a semi-automatic one, is California. You can't own it. But fully automatic would be illegal everywhere.
I guess my brain just immediately went to fully auto for some reason.
Goes there too. If he's taking two banana clips to shoot at somebody trying to attack his wife, and he says, open up, he's not taking any prisoners, and I doubt he's pulling the trigger every time.
Yeah.
Modified. Yeah.
This would just be the beginning of what the Edmonds had to deal with, as the aliens seem to show a fondness for Joyce Edmonds, his wife, who claims that the aliens come into her bedroom to molest her while she sleeps.
It's not good.
Not good at all.
So wait, who said that?
His wife. His wife claims that the aliens come into their bedroom and molest her while she sleeps.
So she verifies everything, right? Like all these stories that he talked about. Okay. So, all right. Not that that means much, but, you know, just curious.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. And the Edmonds also, he claims he finds mutilated horses from the rescue around the property, and the aliens often cause damage to the house when they move around inside. And he said this: the speed generated by their movement, three critters at once, made the glass and the double pane windows actually buzz and misalign in the frames, to the point the windows are now very difficult to close and lock properly without using a screwdriver to realign them in the frame first. I believe the high frequency is a buzz is a side effect of their phasing in our dimension and out our dimension. So he believes they're teleporting. He doesn't believe they're just scurrying like a cat across the house. He believes that they're just zapping and being like, boom.
Yeah.
He also claims that there's two portals on his property. Such openings are often large enough for a triangular craft, wings, or orb-like ships to pass through. These objects leave the space around the ranch, and other crafts re-enter the sky around the ranch and portals by passing through it. So he's claiming that he's the gateway for a lot of these vehicles to come into our dimension.
So he's saying there's like a vortex or a portal or something, like a ley line convergence right on his property, and it's just an easy weak point. Mm. Okay.
So in between them trying to abduct his wife, molesting his wife, and fucking his house up and killing horses, somewhere John Edmonds decided to fight back against these little bastards.
Oh no.
And this is where it gets interesting to me.
Oh, it's not interesting.
This is where it gets really interesting. He took a katana from his fireplace and started to defend his wife, property, and horses, claiming to kill 19 of these gray beings.
Epic.
Some of the articles I've read says he has numerous swords laying around the house, but the one that he seems to really like is the one he keeps above his fireplace.
I mean, if you have an AK-47, you may as well have a fucking katana. Multiple.
Yeah. And he shared a picture of his katana on Facebook, and it had a stain at the very tip of the sword.
What color?
With dark brownish red stains.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah.
Oh god, I had a terrible thought. Okay.
What
if he just went on like a massacre? What if this was like, you remember that Robot Chicken episode where they did the Star Wars spoofs, and they were doing the episode, the one where Anakin kills younglings, and then he like goes into this this world where he's chopping heads off of like flowers and things, but you know, it's kid. Mm-hmm. What if the same thing happened? Maybe he did go on like a massacre and thought they were aliens.
Okay. He just went on a massacre and just killed aliens.
He's like, you crazy, you're gonna molest my wife.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah. So the story's already kind of fishy to me. So we're going to go over some other stuff. Mm. So While visiting the ranch, a team of investigators using high-power, military-grade, laser-powered detection equipment scanned the area, just looking around.
What does that mean?
And they claim an alien presented themselves. This is what they stated. The gray froze in place, motionless, and then dropped the stone like an object. One of the investigators picked up the object and handed it to me. The image appears to be an engraving of a portal activated state. I've also seen the picture of this. It's just like a little stone. I'll see if I can find it around.
Please do.
Now.
Sorry.
Now. So he has some confirmation on, like, people have investigated it. And here's another part that's strange to me, because I also saw the pictures of this. Edmonds claims he suffered several injuries while fighting these aliens. There was a small indention on his leg. It was like just like where his muscle kind of caved in. And he had triangle burns on his body. And he claims he and his wife experienced nausea, muscle weakness, and chronic fatigue, with some people speculating that that could be signs of radiation poisoning.
Interesting.
That is a common theme in certain UFO abductions. There was one on Astonishing. The first episode I ever listened to of Astonishing Legends involved some of that, where the two abductees had like really bad, basically sunburns without, you know, they got them at night. So, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Did they report like nausea, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, because nausea is part of radiation. Interesting. Yeah.
He also claims during these skirmishes that he's collected tissue samples from these greys that attack him. And he sent it to the investigators that were there before that claimed to see the grey themselves. They sent it to a lab to get tested. And according to the lab that analyzed the materials, the liquid sample appears to be pure hemoglobin, and the skin looks like a segmented grass, except for it's not grass. And this is, I'm going to read the report that I see here. Numerous samples have been collected under correct forensic technique by several skilled investigators and were sent to independent labs of high regard. All came back with the same result, that the proteins in the samples could not be identified as anything they had seen before in either plant or animal or human. One lab did add that the sample sent them did match the samples that they had tested the last 30 years of fluid specimens that they had tested from various cattle mutilations across the Southwest U.S.
Oh, shit.
They believe there was 100% compatibility and that the two were the same creature. Finally, a smoking gun that links cattle mutilations to alien life form. One scientist was extremely elated by the discovery.
Wait, what exactly did they test again? What was the material?
They tested the blood and the skin that John Edmonds claims that he has sliced off of Grace.
And they're saying they found these substances also at cattle mutilations?
Yes.
What? Okay. It just seems weird. Why would their blood or skin be at a cattle mutilation? I don't know. It's kind of weird.
No, that's actually a pretty fair point.
I mean, that doesn't make sense, but
yeah.
Continue.
You think they like wrestled with the cow first before eating it or something?
You wrestling? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the aliens' pastime. Is like, instead of just weird like MMA fights like we like to watch, they're sending like the littlest gray they can to go fight a fucking bull.
And then they, for some reason, completely drain the cattle of all blood. That's a common theme, too. So it's like,
yeah,
it's to recharge their energy, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously. Yeah, it's their victory dance. They just like kickstand the cow or something.
They bathe themselves in the blood of their enemies, which is milk, dairy cows, and fucking bulls.
Maybe they just really hate cattle or like cows in general or just.
Maybe they're
four-legged creatures.
I was about to say maybe they're vegetarians. I was like, then why would they kill the cows in the first place?
Right.
That's where my fucking stone mind went.
I have no idea why they. I don't know. I don't know. And then they put them east to west and west to east, you know, so that's weird.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. We are definitely going to cover cattle mutilations.
Yeah. That's a whole episode probably.
Yeah. That's a whole episode by itself. So anyway, numerous investigators say they believe that the strange activity happens at the ranch, while others say the Edmonds are lying for fame to sell their property at an inflated price or just to seek attention. Now, that's not far-fetched. You have a ranch that's worth $500K. You're selling it for well beyond that.
Double,
at $5 million.
Yeah.
More than double.
Oh, you said $5
million? Yeah.
I thought it was $1 million. Okay. Damn.
It was $1 million in 2014 before they raised the price after they were on the television show.
Mm. So, damn.
Yeah. So, do you think they're lying?
From what I've heard so far, yeah. There's so many holes in this story. There's so many holes in it. And, like, I don't know. Nah, I don't believe it.
Yeah, David. I'm not totally on board.
You know why?
You're not sold on it?
It's already an action movie script. The fact that we don't have to take it and turn it into something, to me, says it's already fake. Someone wrote that.
Yeah. Maybe this is like an action movie script he's been working on his whole life, and he's just decided now's the time to realize it and tell the world.
Well,
but he couldn't get the Hollywood funding, so he's like drawing the media attention, and it's like, I'm going to tell my damn story no matter what.
I'll get into that in just a second, actually.
Oh, okay, awesome.
Interesting.
Cool. It continues.
But most residents and police have claimed to never see anything around the Edmonds Ranch. And most police think it's a joke. And John Edmonds has publicly stated that people have come to him asking to screenwrite his story.
Damn, someone's
and he also sells his own, he's written books about it that he sells. And like, it sounds like make money to me.
Yeah,
follow the money and you will find the truth. Yep.
Yeah, it sounds like make money to me, because selling the rights to his story, writing his own book, and raising the price of his ranch exponentially, even when it's right now only listed at $500K, and that's the 2020 price.
Yeah.
And he was trying to sell this for $1 million in 2014 and $5 million in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it sounds fishy. And that was until I read this that made me go, maybe.
Okay. This better be good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So everybody around Rainbow Valley is just like, oh, John Edmonds, and he's making this shit up. However, a previous resident named Gina Irons, who lived in the same house that John Edmonds did in the 70s, and she called it her quiet homestead, she told a local television that the people that they bought the house from, the one that Edmonds is living in right now in the 70s, were quite happy to let go of the property and left town shortly after. They even left the old property guard dog behind, which the family adopted. Now, Gina Irons says that her family dealt with something there. And I'll read you just the two little excerpts that I read on it.
Question real quick. So this Gina lady didn't have any information on those people she sold the house to, the mystery owners with the furniture and the pool?
Gina Irons might know the people.
Because she sold to them, owned right?
It before. Or, no, she didn't sell it. We don't know. From what I can tell, the property, when I checked Zillow, the property had sold quite a few times.
Okay.
The only place where it gets really gray outside of this family that was just like, fuck it, take the house, I'm out, bye, leave town, not coming back.
Okay.
Got it. Somewhere in the 90s.
Okay.
Now, This is what Gina Irons experienced. My mother, my siblings, and I all saw it in slightly different forms and colors, usually some variation of green. In different places, there was always a big drop in temperature whenever it was around. My brother's room, just to the right of the hallway entrance, was always ice cold, even in summer. We didn't have an air conditioner back then, so the old block house got warm. As kids, we decided that must have been where it always lived.
It?
Yeah.
They just called it it. It.
She just called it it. She stated that her and her family just learned to live with it, whatever was in the house, and they just kept quiet about it, and they considered it a haunting themselves. She said that the being did not like visitors coming around to the house, and she told one story about a time a visitor came. One evening, we were watching TV in the big main room. The TV was on the long wall with the hallway entrance. The non-believer was sitting in a recliner facing the TV and thus the hallway. Suddenly, there was an explosion of movement as he hurled himself out of the chair, jumped over the couch, ran down the hallway, yelling at the rest of us as we sat there wondering what the heck was going on. He then ran back through the living room to the back door where we kept the shotguns ready. Remember, this is in the middle of a desert, so it's not, I would have guns too.
Yeah, coyotes and other things.
Yeah, exactly. He had apparently seen it, Iron said. He returned shaking with his hairs and arms standing straight up, claiming to have seen a person dressed in green fatigues standing in the hallway. He thought it was an intruder and gave chase, Iron said, and there wasn't anyone there, and he was stunned in silence. I have theories going through my head.
Yep. Well, I was going to ask.
Everybody's seeing something different.
Yeah, I was going to ask if there's any ghost activity or spirit activity there, because you would expect it, right? If it really was some kind of weak point.
Yeah. Exactly, especially with the story of the Padre and the Spanish Cavalry that happened in Sedona.
This sounds very similar to Skinwalker in the, if this is true, okay. Because I can't ignore how much of this story is A, ridiculous, and B, just trying to make a buck. But
yeah,
if there is a weak point there, it sounds very similar to Skinwalker, where like there's a heavy mixture of different things that are seen there, whether it be cryptids, grays, spirits, ghosts, whatever, you know, like basically anything and everything just leaks out of the astral realm there, basically, you know. Maybe that's the case. Maybe that's the case there too. I don't know. I would like to know if there was more.
I would like to know too.
Yeah, supernatural.
We could probably. Yeah. Go on, David.
Did anyone else describe what the it was, or was it just the one person who said he saw the guy in the green fatigues? No one else described it just, what it was.
No, they said that they all saw it in different forms.
Okay.
Which to me. You know, that whole perceptual camouflage thing is pure astral realm, right? You know, from what we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's where my brain was going.
Yeah.
So who wants to go first with their theories? David.
Oh my gosh. Man, I'm at a loss. So, you know, everyone will see like different things from the astral realm or whatever, right? But then you've got Edmund, who's collecting like skin and blood samples that match up with cow mutilation, you know, material. And then he's got that rock, which is like, you mentioned it's portal.
That has like a picture of the portal on it, and he's got the indention in his leg and the triangle burns.
Yeah. Also, Andy, you could probably add that rock to your antique collection at some point.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah. So the fact that there's like some supposedly some kind of physical evidence linking whatever this entity or multiple like different entities are, I just wonder if they left any other physical evidence behind from the other people who lived in that house.
Yeah.
It seems like something that can kind of vaguely interact. Because, of course, the guy like fighting aliens with like fucking samurai swords and killing them, like, okay, far-fetched. But maybe there's some kind of physical, I mean, there is some kind of physical thing left behind. So I just want to know if there's something else that hasn't been reported, or maybe they just, you know, just lost to the sands of time or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it might be worth checking ghost stories out around like the vicinity of it and just checking them, like,
yeah,
the address was easy accessible.
Yeah,
I found it really quickly. So there's probably a way to, you know, graph it and find ley lines and stuff like that if they're there.
Yeah, it's hard to find accurate maps. I've been exactly. I collect them, but yeah, there's no authority.
No, there's no authority on this shit. Yeah. So the best way to do is just try to see if there's any ley lines in the general vicinity, if there's other activity happening in the area and stuff like that. Do you want me to go with my theory?
Sure. I've got a good one I think might be different than either of yours.
Okay. But I think there's something there. And I think it's not the Grays. It's not a war veteran ghost. It's not any of the things that the kids and the Irons family saw. I think that it's an entity that shapes itself to whatever that person's scared of.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And I wish I had more background on the non-believer, but what if he was a war vet? If he was a war vet in the 70s that came back from what was a war that happened in the late 60s and early 70s?
Right.
Vietnam. So what if he was a veteran that was scarred there and his worst fear is like flashbacks of the war, and that's why he saw a person in green military fatigues? Mm-hmm. What if John Edmund's biggest fear is
an alien invasion?
Your typical gray alien invasion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not disputing that the grays exist.
It's a good theory.
When you think of aliens, the first thing, like even the X-Files, the old movies, they're little gray beings with black eyes and lanky, and that's what he perceives it. He's scared of aliens and an alien invasion, and that's why it presents itself as aliens to him. And the children seeing different forms, it seems like, I don't want to make the complete assumption here, but from what I was reading of Gene and Iron's story, it appeared in different shapes and different forms to each of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that if you see it, it changes into the form that you're scared of.
So you think it's
evil? And what's funny, I think it's evil, okay. Yeah. And this is the thing that, like, you know, puzzles me, is that, like, both Irons and Edmonds describes the creature just moving quickly. Now, if they believe that the story was different, like, one of them could just be like, oh, it floated to me. Like Gina Irons could say, the ship floated to me. And John Edmonds says it scurries, it like vibrates so hard that it just shifts. Like, what if that is the one thing that everybody has in common when they see it, is its movement, that it's not just like walking around, that it vibrates and it just shifts.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds almost like a hologram.
Yes. That's what I was thinking, is like something that can just shift into whatever scares the fuck out of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what's there.
Okay. All right, so you're going evil. All right. So I think it's neutral, and I'm going to explain why. This is what I feel. If all of this information is accurate, okay, that's a big caveat, but maybe it is. Yeah. You know, like with that supernatural experience, it does add another layer onto it, right? It does kind of, in my mind, at least give it a little hair more credence because it's coming from another owner, and you would expect supernatural activity around a weak point like that. So what I think it might be, I'm going to obviously make a reference to a show just because, you know, that's my world, I guess, stories. But Supernatural, do you remember the trickster god who later you figured out was the Archangel Gabriel?
Yeah. Okay, well, he presented himself as Loki first, and then he was actually Gabriel.
Yeah. So I think it might be a situation like that, maybe. The thing is, tricksters are mercurial. Okay, so, and they are often illusionists, and they will transform themselves into different things. Now, you could have an evil trickster, like, basically is what you're describing. I think he's more, maybe he's more neutral, because he seems to, like, he seemed, from what I, from Gina said, they seem to kind of at least live in some sort of, like, maybe understanding of sorts here and there, right? But, of course, he's mercurial, so he might one day do something drastic or freak someone out or whatever, right? And maybe this next family moved in and he didn't like them very much, so he threw all their shit into the swimming pool, you know, or like, you know what I mean? Like, this list goes on and on. And then there's this guy that moves in and he's like bringing cameras on and he's just like, Jesus, leave me alone, humans. And then this, he's like, you know what? I'm gonna have fun with this guy. He thinks he's a bad. You know, like,
I'm gonna stand up. He's got all these swords and these fucking guns lying around. I'm gonna get him good.
He's like, I'm gonna send a full, like, an entire army of fucking aliens after him, like Gabriel did in Supernatural when he abducted Dean, I think it was, and made him slow dance with a gray. I love that. Oh,
listen, you middle-aged Rambo, I'm gonna fuck your world up.
It's like, we got a militia man here that thinks he can fight. Let's put him to the test.
And let's put him to the fucking test.
And if we're going by myths, the thing is, trickster spirits like that, you know, like, they're often sexual beings as well. So
this is true.
The thing is, he, and I'm not saying he's good, and I'm not saying he's totally bad either. I think he's just a neutral trickster of some sort, and I guess he was attracted to the wife. You know, but yeah, I mean, if we're basing it off mythology, that's not uncommon. So, you know, I don't know. I think it's so a trickster spirit, but I think he's neutral and I think he's just fucking annoyed.
With all, like, he settled there like millennia ago and he was like, this is a peaceful place. I found this nice little rock in the desert. I'm just gonna chill here and just stargaze all the time. And then somebody builds a ranch and he's just like, motherfucker. So he scares them off.
Yep.
And then another person comes. It's Gina Irons and her family. And he's just like, he tries his best and no, and they still live there, but they eventually move and it just gets passed on and he's just escalating and he finally gets fucking John Edmonds, who's just like, I'm gonna shoot whatever moves. And this trickster's just like, God damn it, what do I have to do to get people to leave? They just keep getting worse as it goes. Oh no.
Oh my god, the trickster's getting Andy.
The trickster tricked Andy. Dude,
Andy uncovered the truth and fuck, man, this keeps happening to him. We get too close to the truth and then we got gremlins, but now this is targeted. Uncovered it. We
blew the whole lid off of it. It wasn't a dude chasing clout with screenwriters. He wasn't trying to make a quick buck off his ranch that's only worth 500 grand for $5 million. It's a trickster.
Mm-hmm. And a pretty fairly omniscient one as well, because we're pretty far away from this area.
Yeah,
he's able to.
Yeah, we're damn far from Arizona.
Yeah,
and it's just like, nope, this dude is telling the truth about us. We gotta shut her down.
Yep, shut him down.
Gotta shut her down. Now, my thing is, like, I see that me and Andy agree that it's at least shifting into different things and appearing to, like, whatever is, and he's gone finally, is whatever's going on, like, whoever perceives it. And I would really like to know the background of the person, the non-believer. I would love to know if he was a war vet or not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird. So it was Gina and her family, right, that moved in. Mm-hmm. So it's a member of her family that's the non-believer, so to speak.
It didn't say the family, but a visitor. It was a non-believer that came there.
A visitor.
Yeah, it was a visitor. Apparently, they didn't have a lot of visitors there because the entity did not like people coming around.
Maybe
that would work with Andy's theory too, of it's just annoyed that people are always showing up.
Yeah, right. Maybe
and it just wants to be left alone.
Yeah, it just wants to be left alone. I'm thinking the family, like Gina's family, were probably like devout Christians of some denomination. Mm-hmm. And then they had like an atheist friend that stopped by every now and then or something. So that's maybe why I referred to as the non-believer.
Yeah, that was interesting to me. I was just like, it's either somebody that's not very Christian or it's just somebody that just thinks, yo, this is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Could be. Both the theories could exist simultaneously. That's what I just read in the chat from Caitlin.
Mm.
They could. I think she's right. I think they could both coexist.
Yeah.
No, I think
they could both be real.
Yeah,
and that could explain the leaving behind physical evidence, right?
Yeah.
And especially with Edmund, right? Leaving behind like the same DNA samples that's tied to cattle mutilations, but like, he just made it out of thin air. It has nothing to do with cattle mutilations. Yeah. Just to fuck with him.
He probably knows, like, because this being appeared right in front of alien investigators and froze and just remained motionless. So they are working on the same thing that John Edmonds is that's what they're scared of. That's what they believe in the most is gray aliens.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, if it's, you know, kind of godly and not of this dimension, how do we know it can't read fucking minds? And it goes like, oh, this is what these people are searching for. Let me leave this weird little shred of grass and this weird blood. And they can't conceptualize what alien blood looks like. So they're just like, oh, we'll just make it reddish brown, like dried human blood. Because the sword picture was just like, it looked like your typical fake blood to me, or some kind of animal blood. That, like, it was just very brown. It was like perfectly looked human.
Right.
And that's the thing that, you know, made me go, that's like, I know he gave the sword as proof that he's fighting fucking aliens, but that made me go, I don't know. He seems to be putting a lot of thought and effort into a story that he could already sell naturally. He's isolated in the middle of nowhere in Arizona. And he's, you know, hello.
Welcome back.
We thought we assumed that the trickster god got you.
Mm-hmm. You never know. He probably heard me. It's all right, though.
Yeah, probably heard you. But what I was just saying was that I think the sword, that's where I started to doubt Edmonds, was when he showed the sword with the blood on it.
Yeah.
Because it just seemed try hard to me.
Yeah. And I don't know, the lab testing the blood and claiming they find the same thing and a bunch of other cattle mutilations. I'm like,
yeah,
I don't understand. Are the aliens like, is this part of the ritual? I don't know. Like, I'm just going to shave some of my arm off, Dave, and just figuring, you know.
Yeah. the investigators that saw the same gray that Edmund sees, I was just like, what if this entity has telepathy and it can read their minds? And he's just like, this is what they're searching for. Yeah. Let me shed some skin and put some blood on the ground and put it on this sword and just reinforce their own perceptions of what they think aliens are.
But those could be, because an illusion is an alteration of your perception, right? So like it's like a virus in your perception, in a sense, that constructs what someone else wants them to see, you know, like mind controls illusion, essentially, right? So like an illusion, in a sense, like if this is an illusionist trickster kind of thing, who knows how much of it could just be in people's head. I mean, I don't know, like even the test results kind of thing, who knows? I mean, I don't know. That's the thing about tricksters in any story, they're mercurial. So you always have to be suspect of their motives sometimes, depending on the trickster, of course, but
yeah,
you always have to at least be wary of what they're thinking. Yeah. But who knows?
Yeah.
I think it's quite possible. Like, I don't know, the sword thing, it could be, and maybe, because the thing is, in the astral realm, things are like semi-physical, sort of. It's kind of hard to explain, but from at least from my studies, there is, matter can be easily shaped, but there is a physicality to it. So maybe those aliens did temporarily exist for a brief moment when this entity kind of called them into existence, and then they're just like tulpas, just temporary like playthings, you know, toys, and then they just dissipate or something. I don't know. So maybe they did have blood, but yeah.
I just think whatever's there is crabby and just wants to be left the hell alone.
I agree. And then and we're not going to do that.
They're not going to do that. They're just going to keep coming by.
It's going to get more famous.
Just keep bugging them. Yeah, and get more famous. That is the saddest part to it. For like, if it's something that just wants to be left alone, the more he does or she or whatever does things, the more it attracts, the more attention it attracts, and worse, it makes its own existence.
Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, damned if you do, damned if you don't. And they like, they think
it could just that, move.
You know. It could just move.
Maybe what if it's not bound. I mean, it's been there for decades.
Yeah, if it's been there for decades, what if it's bound to something there?
Oh, you're right.
And it's just trying to get free, and it just can't. So it's just like, I can't break away from this. I can't break away from this place. But I can run these.
He's like living in the suburbs.
Yeah, living in the exactly. Yeah, just living in the suburbs. But basically, it's bound there. It can't get away. And it conceptualizes us as just basic animals. And like when you scare animals, they fucking scurry away.
Yeah.
But no, we're goddamn humans.
Yeah.
Maybe. And when weird shit happens, we're going to make podcasts about it. And we're going to go there.
Yeah.
And watch it go down. So it's just making its life worse with every action that it takes.
Maybe.
But here's my question: if it's like this, why can't it, like, is it power limited just to tricking? Can it not, you know, do far more to push them out?
Right. And maybe like at this point, it's accepted its reality of like, well, I can't go anywhere. So he's just going to fuck with all the tenants until he finds a good tenant for his farmhouse that he's stuck at for eternity, or whoever knows how long.
So this is just roommate selection. That's all it is.
It's just roommate selection. Yeah. It's just trying to be the worst roommate possible. And then when it finally gets to Edmund's, they're just like, great, this one's greedy. He's going to try to make a fuck ton of money. All the other ones sold this for less than market value and fucking skedaddled. But this dude wants some paper and he's just selling it for so much money and he will not leave. And this dude, it's like being stuck in a bad, in a, like a 3-year lease with a bad roommate.
Yeah.
Yep.
You can't do anything about it because the bad roommate doesn't want to break the lease, and you can't break the lease, so you're just stuck there. and you know that it's just like there's horses going around. He's a former musician, concert promoter, so he's probably playing guitar and all sorts of instruments all the time. And he's got guns. He's got an uncomfortable amount of swords. He's probably got lots of fucking cats.
Oh, God.
And it's just, he's just the roommate from fucking hell. And you can't, and this poor entity can't do anything except for just be like, I guess I'll send 50 aliens at him today to see if this finally breaks him.
Oh, next thing you know, a fucking dragon's just gonna like come out of the sky. Like, it'd be like, move.
Move, goddammit. Please leave.
It's like, what does it take to get your attention?
And then Edmonds is just gonna go inside his house and get a fucking RPG.
But yeah, bazooka. Yeah,
just be like, a bazooka. And it's just be like, I'll take this dragon on too. Fuck you.
I knew this day would come.
I knew it. I knew it would come.
Male armored, like specifically for that occasion too.
Oh yeah, he's. I mean, you know if he's got cart. If he's got swords,
who the fuck knows what else he has? He's got chain.
Yeah. He's Leroy Jenkins. Yeah, he Leroy Jenkins at the fucking manifested dragon, and the entity's just sitting up on his rock, just being like, God damn it.
Like, I thought this would work. What the fuck are you not prepared for?
He's just, this is just the one guy he can't break. And it's just like, this is the comedy angle. I like this angle too, though. He's just this one human. He's like the Jerry Smith of humans, and he's just like, no matter what he does, he just can't seem to destroy him, and he's just like, fuck it.
Yeah, he can't break his will enough to leave the fucking house.
I would watch that show
without him having. I would watch it too.
Yeah. Oh. What was that show that had the werewolf, the vampire, and the ghosts living together as roommates? It was British, and then it was on American TV. It was like Being Human.
It was Being Human. It was on Sci-Fi.
Yeah, it's just like one of the dumbest humans you can find in a god, but he's like, his power's been diminished, and he's bound to this one like spot of the earth, and he's stuck living with this guy, and he's just like, God, no matter what he does.
Motherfucker.
It's like, I can't get rid of him. Sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like Beetlejuice. Yeah. So, like, all these things made me go, no, I don't think Edmonds is telling the truth. And I don't think he's 100% telling the truth even after the Gina Iron story. The Gina Iron story made me go, well, and that's where my weird theory started working of, it's like shifting into different things that scare people.
Yeah. If you can accept that any of it's true, then that's the best theory.
Yeah. If any of it is true, and that was the only thing that made me second guess Edmonds, was the Gina Iron story, because I was just like, this is just so try hard with everything he's saying. Yeah. It sounds like he wrote an action movie in 1982 and he's like, this is how it rolls. AK-47s, samurai swords, and Camaros.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Definitely.
And that was just like, when I was reading the more, I was just like, no, this is kind of bullshit. This is just like, this is just too much. That's too much going on here.
Is this Stallone like or Schwarzenegger movie?
I think it. Not Chuck Norris.
No.
Yeah, I would say Dolph Lundgren movie.
Could be Wesley Snipes. The great Wesley Snipes movie.
Wesley Snipes is more 90s.
Yeah, he was more 90s.
No. It was like early 90s, mid-90s.
The first time I know of Wesley Snipes being in a big role was Major League, which is 1988.
Well, there you go. Blows my theory up. All right, so Schwarzenegger, Stallone. Sorry.
Yeah, so... Mm-hmm. But yeah, just all the stuff that Edmund said just piled up to making me going now.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think that multiple things could be going on here. I think it could all be fucking bullshit. I think that, or an entity of like the multiple theories of being like what me and you think, Andy, and what all three of us seem to think. Is there something there? We just don't know what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like my trickster theory for sure. I think it's,
I like the trickster theory too.
I'd rather
it has a little more depth. Yeah. Yeah. Trickster and bad roommate.
Yes. Yeah. It's a great, great story. I'll watch it. Yeah. I would watch it for at least a few seasons. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I would too. I feel like it would be like a, it would need to be a short, like, British sitcom miniseries where it's like three seasons and then done.
Yeah. It's a good British humor.
Like, only do, do only three series of it and then just cancel it, because I feel like the well would run pretty dry really quick on it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, one character can't even leave the house. I mean, how are you going to?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
It's just like one person can't leave the house. Like, that just severely minimizes the goofy adventures. You can't, you, like, there can't be an episode where they go to the theme park. There can't be the awkward dating episode. There can't be the love interest episode, because it's all just like, he's the entity's just the third wheel there.
Yeah.
If you think about it. So you severely have diminished half your writing capacity, because you can't use your usual tropes on it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we forgot about the wife, though. The wife can be
the wife
character.
The wife could be a character, but you need that. If it's like a small sitcom like that, they have to leave like the house eventually.
It's gonna be like
what sitcom?
Sorry, like Who's the Boss and like King of Queens style, and but like plus Beetlejuice.
I'd watch it. I would only watch it for a season or two, because I feel like the well would run dry.
Oh yeah.
It
makes me wonder if this is like if there are other entities that are tied to a location, but it's like a mobile home. Right, and so this
home, mobile home location.
Like, oh, that would be convenient if you were, or some shit.
That would be convenient if you were a ghost attached to an RV.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's possible. I mean, I think cursed objects are basically spirits attached to those objects. So, like, or at least some remnant of a spirit, at the very least, like with saint, you know, like saint relics and stuff like that. But for sure, I mean, if you had something like, I don't know, maybe some like part of a car, like like the hood ornament, like a cursed hood and ornament or something like that. It could just travel along with the vehicle.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's just like the transmission's the cursed part. Just like, you better hope to God that this transmission never gets replaced and thrown into a junkyard, because then you're just fucked.
Oh, God.
It's like the weirdest. It's the rim. It's the haunted object. Like, the dude was putting a rim on the car and something fucking fell on him and killed him. And now he's forever attached to the fucking rim of a tire.
Well, there's James Dean on a serious note. There's Little Bastard, James Dean's car. That's, they say it's cursed. The amount of people that have driven it that have died.
That have died in it. Yeah.
Yep. So who knows? It's possible.
Who knows? I don't have really much other thoughts on John Edmonds. I'm very torn on the truth of, like, is it true? Is it bullshit? If it's true, what the fuck is going on?
Every bit of it's true.
Every bit of it. The samurai swords and everything.
God's honest truth. That man is a hero. God's honest truth. He is a hero. And, you know, we should build statues to him. I'm just saying. Samurai sword and all. AK-47 in one hand, samurai sword in the other, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. RPG strap.
Like an alien body at his
RPG strap.
And he's just
an alien body at his feet that he's just standing. Yeah, the boot on the head, just like, and he's just waiting for the screenwriter to just like come in and just take the perfect picture to sell to a studio.
I kind of want to
draw my agent said this would work.
Oh, God. That sounds like a great
epic statue. I think I might want to have one of myself at my home at some point.
God, this is like Evil Dead territory, you know, like in the ridiculous, like he's got a chainsaw for a hand and a shotgun in the other, sawed off in the other hand, you know. It's the same equivalent here. He's basically the Ash Williams of Aliens, I guess, instead of demons. Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what's going on here. Yeah.
Oh. Well,
all right.
I guess we'll call. Yeah, I guess we will call that wrap. Plugs, anybody?
Not yet. Maybe sometime. Hopefully soon. Maybe.
All right, David.
No, I want to keep my shitty political stuff away from this. So no, I am.
All right. Well, we are the High Kind. If you like what you hear, you can subscribe to us on Apple, Spotify, and multiple other platforms. Give us some good reviews. Stars, thumbs, hearts, whatever the fuck it is. And it helps people find the show. And we will be back next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.